It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
Welcome to CAT Scan as we talk the Prince George Cougars, husband and wife, Darnell Toth, Jessica Speziale with the PG Cougars. Now, let's just get an introduction from both of you. First off, as husband and wife associated with the Cougars, is this your first interview together as a couple?
Yep.
This is the first one.
Yeah, we were just talking about that before. We think this has been in the room lots right. to see each other be interviewed, but this is the first one actually together.
All right. So, Darnell, you are sort of behind the scenes of the PG Cougars. Give a description of your job, what your responsibilities are on game night.
I like to joke that I just yell at Jessica through the earpiece in her ear the whole time. But my job is director and show caller for the game day presentation. The easiest way to describe this is everything you see that happens in the bowl from a show and entertainment perspective kind of comes from me down through the production team and out to the fans.
And Jessica, we see you at the PG Cougar Games, but you are more than just an in-game host. You are full-time with the Cougars. Why don't you explain your responsibility with the team?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, on game day, I'm the in-arena host and Cougars ambassador. So I get to hang out with the fans and, you know, we do giveaways and making those fan interaction pieces happen throughout the game. During the week, I do corporate sales for the Cougars, and I also do marketing, so it's sort of like half and half. So that's everything from writing the newsletter to helping our businesses around town activate their advertising within the arena and engage with fans in various ways. It's really exciting to be able to have to get to hang out with the fans, to get to hang out with our businesses, and really make that intersection.
Now, the response from the businesses, it has to be a lot different this time of the year, the playoff excitement, the winning, and all of that. Give us some insight there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so much fun because the busiest time for corporate sales is over the summer during the off season when we're trying to line up all of those different corporate interactions, all those activations, make sure that everything's lined up, the artwork is done, things are changed over in the arena. So that's the busiest time. But in terms of outreach and interaction with clients, playoffs is just crazy. We get clients reaching out just to cheer with me over email or over the phone, but also to reach out and see what else can we do. You know, we have extra budget now at this time of year. Let's talk about playoffs. Is there anything we can jump on? And we've been able to do a lot of that with our business clients this year.
Now, Jessica is full-time with the PG Cougars, but Darnell, you are with the PG Cougars, but you also have your own business as well.
I contract for a company out of Toronto. So I make lots of video and marketing content marketing, kind of covering the gamut of creative services to the B2B world.
Right. So how did you guys get involved together with the PG Cougars? Just sort of give us an insight as to that, because Darnell, you're from Prince George. Jessica, you're from Ontario. But you guys were in Ontario, decided to move to Prince George. How did that all come together from your perspective?
It kind of follows kind of the trajectory of how we've always worked together. So Jess was a musician, rock star artist. And how we met was I actually worked in the background producing her albums, helping make her music videos and managing her. So we've kind of always had this relationship working together where, like, she's out being visible to the world. Everybody sees her. And I'm kind of sitting in the background pulling the strings. So moving to Prince George was a decision to raise a family. We thought Prince George would be a much better place than Toronto to raise a family. We liked the lifestyle. We loved the community. And we were already Cougar fans before we even came. So we came, we got to watch the Cougars play a season of hockey, and we thought we could, you know, help them out and help the community out. So we just approached them and basically asked if we could help them.
And you've certainly done an outstanding job, and it's very noticeable the improvement since you guys have come on board. Do you want to expand upon that a little bit, Jessica?
For sure. I mean, I always feel like we manifested it a little bit, to be honest, because when we lived in Toronto, we thought, you know, if we ever move to Prince George one day, we're definitely going to be Cougar season members. Like that was on our bucket list of moving to Prince George. And then we're like, you know, as season members, here we are living in Prince George. We're season members now. We're at every game and we're seeing things and we're like, you know what? I think our skills could really complement. And then I was like, you know what? I'd really like to sing the anthem. Right. So we started putting it out there. We're talking to friends and family, being like, yeah, you know, I think we could do something to help the Cougars organization with our skill set, coming in with fresh eyes as well if they're looking for it. And then, hey, who do I talk to about becoming an anthem singer? And so we were starting to put those little seeds out. It worked so smoothly. It was meant to be 100%. Yeah.
Now, do you guys see yourself, Prince George, long term, or would you like to elevate into a higher level of hockey like NHL or something like that? I mean, we talk about players having those desires and everything. What about from your perspective? Because there's a family life that comes into it. There's an entertainment life, video life. There's all of that. Do you see yourself long-term in Prince George? If not, where would you like to go in terms of taking your careers to the next level?
Prince George is definitely where we are. Yeah, we came here as a long-term plan. And that's, once again, why, you know, helping the Cougars and elevating what they do is a big goal of ours. Because if we're going to be in this community, we want to give our skills and our talents to this community and help make this community the best place we can.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure we'd probably have some serious conversations if like an NHL team came knocking, you know, but we also live in this world where a lot of our skills and COVID times were very indicative of and sort of showcased what you can do from afar. So a lot of our skills, if somebody were looking for something particular, we could help them out from Prince George and not necessarily have to move to that city unless that's their MO. But the Cougars are the number one for us, which I know is probably we're in the minority, I think, of people working in the sports industry. But we really, really love WHL hockey, and we really love the Prince George Cougars.
And you probably feel you've got the best job in the city right now.
100%.
Right. So, Darnell, I want to get some details on how many people work for you. What are the jobs? How does it come together with the video, the on-screen? Give us as much details as you can, because we just come and we see the final product, and it's not as simple, I imagine, as it looks.
No, not at all, Hartley. And that's exactly this past weekend we've had almost 6,000 people both nights. You see everything happening, but you don't realize there's a little room in the corner with a bunch of people huddled in that room that are making everything happen. So what kind of starts with a director of me goes down? We have our PA announcer, we have our music person, we have our switcher doing the video switching, we have our replay guy, we have the guy who's manning the Jumbotron, and then we have the lighting guy as well. And then on top of that, there's four other camera people that are around the arena, like bringing it to life video-wise. So what happens is it's kind of mostly from in an arena aspect is I'm working with the PA announcer, the lighting, Jess, of course, and the music to get that stuff out. And then the replay and our video switcher guys, they're really focused on just making hockey the star, showing off hockey to the best we can. So they're working with the camera guys to making sure we're getting good angles covered and what we want to see. They're making sure we're rolling replays that the fans want to see and also what the people on TV want to see. So that all of that is basically condensed into a little room in the corner. And yeah, lots of people may not know what's going on, but there is a whole team of people that's making what you see both on the stream and in the arena happen.
And because you guys have done it for a whole season now, I imagine the process is pretty stream flow. Everything goes pretty smoothly, or are there some things that still come up? Oh gosh, we got to deal with this.
It runs pretty smooth for the most part. Because we are doing live entertainment, you do run into camera going down, microphone going down, things like that. Like, there's always the technical fun of a live show. because it is our second full season as a team working together up there, we are making like improvements constantly. And now it's like we do see things a team discuss, and we are always looking to make things better. Could we have covered that camera angle better? Could we have played a better song during the moment? We don't see them as challenges anymore like the way they used to be. They're more just refinements and continually making the show just a little bit better every game.
What you do... Is there a group in every WHL center that does exactly what you do? Is every team different? How about that?
You know, every team's going to be a little different. I haven't been to every arena and every, you know, production room to see who they have. In the standard of what we do, you know, if you look at NHL level, AHL level, that they'll always have a show caller director coming down to the team. That's just kind of the hierarchy of putting on a live production. As for the WHL teams, you know, they're independent, so they do what they decide is best for them. You know, some teams I watch and I really wish I could, you know, go help them too and make the, make their broadcasts a little better. And but I don't know what they have as staff, and I don't know what their goals are. So it's hard to say ultimately in the end.
Jessica, talk about the difference of the Prince George fan during the regular season compared to the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, they're a lot louder during the playoffs.
They are, yes.
You know, it's amazing. Prince George Cougars fans are insane and incredible on a regular day, you know. But when it's playoffs and it's whiteout and there's the towels, there's the cowbells from the regular season, there are noisemakers happening, people really bring their cheers out, everybody wants to make noise. So it's a different... It's a different vibe just because we have sort of that that anxiety and that increased excitement of the playoff fever. Whereas in the regular season, we've got our cheers going. We've got, you know, some really the cowbells are awesome during the regular season. We've got the coup chant really came out as being prominent this season. It sort of took over. And, you know, we get that going. You can hear, you can sort of follow where the puck is around the arena just based on where the noise is coming from. And that happens all season long, but there's just something about playoffs that everybody sort of ratchets it up.
Well, I notice I get to the games an hour, 15 minutes ahead of time. And during the regular season, I'm sort of like the first one there, not the first one, but, you know, really close. But in playoffs, I'm surprised how many people, I'm still getting there an hour, 15 minutes ahead of the game, but how many people are there before me? And I'm not talking about employees. I'm talking about fans. And the doors don't open until, an hour before the game. They won't open the doors for these guys, but they're standing around. And I won't just say standing around. They're enjoying themselves outside. You can just sense that difference. You must get that feel as well.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. The spontaneous tailgate parties that are happening in the parking lot, I absolutely love it. Everyone is so decked out. So many, and it was fun because that first game, a lot of the people that come regularly in the regular season decided to get there super early. And the face paint that was going on, like, everyone just took it to the next level. I mean, that's playoffs, right? It's so exciting. I think even as general sports fans, we can all agree that playoffs is the best time of year. And it's pretty insane. Truly, like, this passion is there all season long, but we have more people in the stands. We've got friends and family that haven't been able to come all season joining their friends in the stands, you know. So, and Prince George, I mean, we're so blessed to live in this community that's really tight knit. A lot of people know each other. There's a lot of us here, but it is a very small town feel. So everyone knows each other in the arena. There's a lot of that friend connection in the concourse. It's great.
During the regular season, the average crowd was 3,500 at CN Center. In the playoffs, it's over 5,700, and we know there's been sellout after sellout. So, Darnell, from your point of view, other than just being playoffs, knowing that every time the rink is full, is there things that you have to do any differently than you would for the regular season when there would be 3,000 or 2,500 or 3,500 at a game?
I wouldn't say there's necessarily a different approach, but it makes our jobs way easier, and it makes it a lot more funner when we want to make some noise in that building or we want to get all the fans involved, because it's like it feels like they're they're waiting for us to give them something like that. Anything we can give them that's going to make them cheer for the team, get loud, get more excited about hockey, they're all about. So we try to do that during the regular season, but definitely during the playoffs, everybody's a little more bought in. Everybody's a little more excited, and it just amplifies everything we do.
What do people want to see on the big screen? What are the requests that you get? And maybe are there some things that you've shown that fans have said, hey, maybe that's not for them?
We always try to make hockey the star. So what that means is, like, if, you know, Ravensbergen makes a big save, we want to show the fans the big save. If there's a big hit, we want to show the fans the big hit. The goal is for hockey to always be the star. And then the next thing is all the cool signs, all the cool fans. I get texts on my phone all game long of people spotting things, which I love, because when they're good, we can throw them and put them up on the Jumbotron, and people get good laughs or they get excited when they see things. So it's kind of hockey and fans are the mix.
And I notice when the Cougars score, the replays come up awfully quick, right? And, you know, I mean, the opposition didn't get any goals in the first two games against Kelowna, but when the opposition does score, the replays, they come up, but they're a little bit behind, you know.
We like to soak, I'm trying to think of the term I use, but I like to say to Dwayne, who's our video switcher, is let's show them the pain that's being felt.
Right.
So we like to kind of dwell on what's the goalie's reaction, who scored the goal, things like that.
Right. So during the regular season, as the players were coming out and all that, you had For the Glory. I notice now for the playoffs, you've sort of changed that a little bit. Talk about that.
Yeah, for playoffs, you know, we wanted to change the show a little bit, bring something fresh, bring something more exciting to kind of the change. Playoffs are a change from the regular season. There's a new attitude that comes about it. And we wanted to create a pregame show that had this extra step of engagement. And it's actually an idea that we had a while ago. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, it's like, I hope we make playoffs because then we can do that pregame show idea. And then eventually got to, like, we're making playoffs. We're going to make this pregame show idea. So with playoffs, we wanted to, like, kind of play into what fans are feeling. There's a lot of excitement. So we actually kind of wanted to create some anxiety about when things are starting. We wanted to bring some pride to the North and give everybody a little goosebumps to be proud to be from here. And then we wanted to bring the audience in and make them part of the pregame show, which, if you've been at the game, I don't want to give too much away. The pregame show does bring the fans into it. And then we just wanted them to make a ton of noise before that team comes out. So when that team comes out, they're seeing the best of Prince George.
We're speaking with Darnell Toth, who is the show caller. His wife is Jessica Speciale, in-game host, corporate sponsorship with the Prince George Cougars. You're listening to our CatScan podcast. So you wanted to elevate, Darnell, things for the playoffs. The further the Cougars go, can things be elevated even more, or are we right now at the very top?
Well, this, Hartley, this is an interesting question, because I don't know about you, but especially with playoffs, I'm a very superstitious person.
Okay.
So currently, you know, we've been winning the way we've been winning.
Yes.
And to me, it's like, I'm going to wear the same clothes, the same socks, the same thing to every game. We're going to play the same pre-show, and we're kind of just going to do what's been working.
Okay.
Because if we're winning, we got a winning formula going on.
Right.
So, you know, it's not to say things could change. There could be something else brought to it. But for the most part right now, we're running with superstition, which is what's working is winning, and let's keep winning.
So, Jessica, when the PG Cougars get together, you're just at one of our staff meetings, and our staff meetings are so general. We just talk about just whatever is going on in our lives and things like that. What about for the Prince George Cougars? When the staff gets together, when you have those staff meetings, everybody's got ideas. Everybody's got something. Hey, we can improve on this. We can do this. We can do that. Everybody wants to sort of pitch in. What goes on with the PG Cougars staff meetings? Who's all involved with that?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Most passionate, very teeny tiny little staff. And everyone's always on the outlook for what can we do better? How can we tweak this? How can we make this more exciting? In the meetings, of course, we've got our director of business operations, Taylor Dakers, leading the meeting. We have broadcaster Cole Waldy, and he's the director of communications. We have myself. We'll have Dylan Lukinchuk, who is in ticketing. Kyla Elson, who's in ticketing. We have Bev Prophet, who's at the front desk. So if you've ever come into the office, you know Bev very well. We have Tanya Lamb. She runs merchandise. So we all get together. Parker Henneberry, he's game day operations. And we all get together and we just like chew the fat. We have a small office. So a lot of the time we're chewing the fat with each other anyways. We're very connected. Most of the time, there's a lot of time where some of us are missing from the office because they're on the road. With the team, but we see each other almost every day, and then we work weekends together too. So we're always connected. So a lot of those ideas are flying around, and the staff meetings end up being, okay, we were talking about this. What do we think? Can we make them happen? We do some votes. We've got, you know, some discussion. I don't know. It feels like a, you know, a staff meeting.
Yeah. No, but is the staff meeting different in April than it was in October because of all the success?
Yeah. You know what? The staff meeting actually very similar in October as it was to in April, because we just have different ideas now.
Right.
But the cadence of and the passion that everybody brings is exactly the same. We want it in October. We want to kick off the season on a great note and make sure that, you know, what did we do in the first month? What can we bring that was really successful into the rest of the season? Was there anything that didn't quite hit, and what can we replace it with? In April, reflecting back, okay, these things were super successful. Here's what we want to do. This is what was successful last playoffs as well, because that sort of comes into play. There's a whole bunch of playoff-specific ideas that get thrown around in well, it's in January. It's not in April. But yes.
You love to get the crowd involved with Old Canada. You'll start it, but then you let the crowd get involved. What's the thought process behind that? Obviously, when there's American opposition, different circumstance. Mm-hmm. But what is the thought process there? Is that something you want to keep doing? Is it done elsewhere quite a bit? What sort of comes into that decision rather than you just singing the whole national anthem?
For sure. A lot of it came from came into this position as singer-songwriter for a long time and performing around the country, playing shows sold out or otherwise. So, you know, having those small bar gigs versus a larger festival gig and having that experience there with different types of crowds. And particularly, Darnell and I were talking about this at home, you know, one of the coolest concert experiences is when the whole place is singing together. Right. And it's magical and it gives you goosebumps and you're like, oh, like I'm part of something bigger than me. And that is an experience that everybody should have, including Prince George Cougars fans. When it gets super loud on that anthem, and I have an earpiece in one ear, so one of my ears is not functioning on the crowd front, right, but the other one, and I can pick up, you know, there's a whole bunch of people singing right now. And so I was like, you know what? There's a whole bunch of people singing right now. Mic in the air. So something that's happened a lot and happens a lot at concerts, of course, is when and it's great when the band gives the crowd the song and lets them take it for a bit. And everybody just goes nuts and everybody gets super loud because it's magic. It's a moment. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I love, and it sounds like Prince George really likes it too. So, I will continue giving the anthem to the crowd in those scenarios until they don't want it anymore.
I think they want it.
Yeah. Singing in the crowd is insane.
Yeah.
It is so cool. Sometimes it's so funny because I'll like go to people and be like, can I sing the anthem with you? And they look at me and they're like, oh no. But then at the end, it's all high fives. You know, we're all super into it. So
I just thought of something. You go to different sections all the time. You don't just stay in one section when you're in the crowd. Are there different sections that, you know, are more enthusiastic, or do you find no matter where you go, the fan is the fan, no matter what part of the building?
Yeah, I think the only difference is, well, and this is currently not applicable, but in when the game is not fully sold out,
right,
some sections are more well attended than others. And so those well attended sections most of the time, not always, are more into it, and they give you a better response when you show up in that little entryway. But you know what? Sometimes everybody gets up. Everybody gets up. Everybody cheers. Everybody's stoked about prizes. We actually have this, like, a group of young fans that follow the promo team around. They follow. There's myself and a group of up to three other people, and we walk around, and those ladies are incredible at helping get everybody hyped up and throwing things into the crowd, and they have much better arms than I do, so I'm super appreciative. But the kids will follow us around, and at some points in the regular season, that crowd of children got so big that we started sending them to sections in advance that we knew we were going to be in. And they would go and they would find seats there so that when we got there, we could throw them prizes.
Right. Yeah. So, Darnell, at home, is it just always talk about the PG Cougars, maybe except for the off season? You have a young child. Like, how do you guys balance everything when it's so Cougar centric right now?
It's a lot of Cougars, and our kids are fully bought in. An example of that is, like, while we're working on building out the new pregame show for playoffs, the kids are in the room playing, and they decide to act like the Cougars, and they go wait in their bedroom. And then after the countdown drops, they know the team comes out then, and they come running out of their room saying, "You're Prince George Cougars," with their hockey sticks. So our house is kind of all in on the Cougars.
And they're how old now? They're 3-1?
Two and four.
So they're getting old.
Avid fans, they identify songs with Cougars game songs. So it makes it it makes it a lot of fun. Tuca also likes to imitate Cole and do play-by-play of hockey as he plays with his headphones on, which is quite funny. And then Jess and I are always just bouncing ideas off each other. And also we're just being fans. Like, lots of the time we talk about the Cougars, it's not even necessarily about business or the show or what we do with them. It's just as general fans that love the Cougars and love the players and what storylines are going on with who and who's going to play where and who we're going to miss when they're gone.
Right. Is there any topic that has come up with the Cougars where one of you has had an idea and the other says, "No, I don't think so," and then you've sort of got into a real heated discussion about it? If so, has there been a situation like that? What would the topic be, and how would that be resolved? And I imagine that may not have even come up, but I'm just curious, in course of discussion, I know when I talk, you know, with the Prince George Cougars, not everybody agrees with absolutely everything. So is there anything that sort of comes to your mind where Jess has sort of been here and you've been there?
Well, it's like there's not necessarily one direct example that hops out, because it I don't want to say it happens a lot, but collaboration is a part of getting to any good idea. And you know, in my life, I spend a lot of time reviewing work and giving input on ideas. So there's lots of time Jess comes and she, like, will just quickly shoot an idea to me, and I'll be like, "Oh, no, not that, not this." And then she'll defend where her idea comes from, and then I'll give input. And ultimately, it's never like shooting things down per se. It's just trying to take a suggestion idea and figure out what's the best way to execute it, when would timing be good for it, and things like that.
Absolutely. I mean, have you been sitting at our kitchen table? Like, how did you know?
Yeah, I imagine there's been quite a few discussions there. When you have 6,000 people consistently, and that's the, you know, what's going to happen for every playoff game's happened so far, and it's going to continue to happen. Not everybody's on the same wavelength as to how loud the music should be, what kind of music. Some people like rock, some like country, some, you know, there's different forms, all of this. How do you satisfy, and either of you can tackle this, probably start with Darnell, how do you satisfy 6,000 people with different tastes?
There's 6,000 people there, so that means there's 6,000 opinions. No, you know, for the most part, it's a cohesive audience. You're always going to have the outliers. Musically, we try to cover the spectrum and kind of play a little bit of a mix of everything. For us, it's more important on what's the vibe. And it doesn't matter. No genre is particular to a certain vibe. So we're able to use rock songs at time, dance songs at time, bust out some oldies here and there. When it comes to the volume, the challenge right now is actually the PA system itself. Couldn't be more excited that the city has approved bringing in a new sound system, because it's going to make all the world of a difference to the audio experience in that arena. And like a good example of this is right now you can be sitting in one section and barely be able to hear Jess talk. And you can be sitting in another section and the speaker's so loud it's crackling. So it's really, we're kind of at the limit of that aging sound system and what it can be and what it can do. And then when you have 6,000 people in the building, our current sound system isn't quite good enough to be loud enough for that rambunctious building that we have.
Right. So when does this new system come into play?
I believe it's getting installed this summer. So fingers crossed that it'll be in for the next season, because we can't wait enough. It's definitely going to elevate and completely change the audio experience of that building, and pretty much make it world class.
So we fans, media, people who go to the game, we will definitely notice this.
You will notice it, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's really something to look forward to. Is there any other changes that are coming that we will see in the future?
Nothing that I could reveal right now, or anything major. But there's always change, and it's not to say changes is the right word, but we're all here to always constantly be better, evaluate what we're doing, make things better, take in feedback, evaluate it. How can we act on this? So you'll see changes in the form of us just making incremental improvements. Every game, we're trying to find something to improve. And that is a culture that we've now built there and we'll continue doing.
So in previous podcasts, Jessica, I've asked you about, any possibility of trying to go for Canada's Got Talent or America's Got Talent. We've talked about that in the past. Mm-hmm. Any desires now as an update? Here we are, in the playoffs, about your career as a musician, as a singer. Are there high profile events that you could go to, that you would like to go to, that Darnell could be with you and support you, or do you just happy to keep it at a local level?
Yeah, at the moment I'm really enjoying where I am right now. It's interesting because for me, I need time with my voice this summer to like really practice a lot and like get things back under control. It was people with children out there who play guitar might be able to relate, but our 2-year-old has just started letting me play the guitar again without touching the tuning pegs every 5 seconds.
Yep.
So it's great. It's amazing. I can actually sit and play and practice and enjoy making music again. There's a lot of changes just, going through life, having babies, that I'm learning about my body, and my body is my instrument. So I've been going through that journey there. So I can't say that being on a high profile show at the moment has been on the radar. Like I said last time, if you hear of it coming to Vancouver or something, let me know.
I'd be interested. Can you expand upon the changes that you've had to make since having 2 children? And what is sort of involved there? I'd like the insight there before children and after children from a musician's point of view.
For sure. Yeah. I could do music whenever I wanted. My body didn't change all that much. Mm-hmm. I knew myself for that whole time period and developed my voice for that particular physical moment in my life. Having babies just sort of moves everything around. Your hormones are everywhere. Your body is literally, your organs are everywhere. And so now that they're a little bit older, I feel like I'm sort of getting back into myself physically. So it feels really good to be able to start relearning how to use my voice. A lot of singers get some feedback at this point in their career. Most recently, I was reading about Christina Aguilera and what she went through after having kids. A lot of women, their voices are a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. Things change. And so I feel my voice feels like I'm relearning how to use it. And I've been going through this journey for the last couple of years. So now it's starting, I'm starting to get a little bit of confidence back in terms of what I know I can do with my instrument. And then guitar wise, there's this great saying, you know, I don't practice for one day and my guitar notices. I don't practice for 2 days and I notice. I don't practice for 3 days and my audience notices. And so now I'm able to sort of pick up that practice schedule a little bit so that none of us notice that I haven't practiced in a while.
It's also like being deeply creative to like write a song, for example. You need a space and time to like get into the headspace to be able to be that kind of creative. And, you know, we've kind of replaced late nights in the studio and writing songs and going to shows and all that with late nights with kids.
Yeah.
Wanting to not sleep in the middle of the night.
Early morning with kids, like 2 a.m.
Early mornings, you know, wanting to watch the Cougars game until it's way past bedtime.
Yeah.
So it's like, since having kids, the biggest challenge has been to find the space to be as creative as we used to be. And we know just as the kids get older, that'll be easier to find. But off the hop, you know, it was kind of funny. We played in other bands and been around other musicians who had kids, and we used to joke like, "Why'd they fall off the face of the earth? They just had a kid."
Right.
And then as soon as we had a kid, it was very quickly answered on why they seemed to temporarily disappear for a little bit.
Now, Darnell, what do you like to play? Like we've heard with Jessica, she loves the guitar and all that. What about for you?
Drums is my main instrument that I play, but I do play guitar, I do play piano. I like to joke that if it makes noise and you give me 20 minutes with it, I could probably figure out how to make a song on it.
So I'd like to know, so when you are 8 and 10 years old, are you banging the drums? You know, are your parents hearing you this all? Or how did you get involved with the drums? Because a lot of parents try to avoid that because of the noise.
Well, my parents did, but I was actually, we were just talking about this the other day. I was a late bloomer to music. I was heavily involved in sports. I always had a love for music and like listening to lyrics and breaking down songs. And then it wasn't until I was in grade 11 that a buddy of mine, like a long-term buddy, I didn't even know he had played guitar and we'd been friends for a while, but he just turns to me and he goes, "Yo, I'm starting a band and I need a drummer. Yeah. Will you be my drummer?" And I just said, "Sure." So it's like, well, let's go see if you can play drums. So that lunch period, we actually broke into our band room and found the drum kit, and we just started jamming. And I found I was like kind of naturally drawn to it and just started playing drums, which led to having a band in town and touring around, which led to going to school for audio engineering, which led to Toronto and ultimately to Jess.
Yeah. And then I've talked on previous podcasts, and I think you've both agreed, Darnell, you were sort of the chaser there in the relationship. Can you give us, now that you're both here, can we sort of get both sides and how this sort of developed? Because you guys were friends for quite a long time. You can maybe tell us how long that was. And then when did it become more than friends?
Well, don't everybody who kind of gets down on internet dating, don't get down on internet dating, because Jess and I are a success story of internet dating. We met on Plenty of Fish, just had a mutual connection over music and stuff, went, hung out. I got friend zoned. It happens. What can you do? But, you know, despite that, we had this interest in like creating together still. So we did continually create together, and just kind of throughout that time, I just slowly kept, you know, making my intentions known and, you know, hoping that maybe one day things would change. And by golly luck, they did.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, actually. It was amazing. One of my friends, I was telling him the story and he goes, "They fell in love over the soundboard in the studio." Yeah. I was like, "That's awesome. I love that." But really what happened? Yeah, we were dating for a while. We knew each other probably about 6 to 8 months. So we went on a first date. We're talking a lot. I was so done with dating. This is my mindset. I was like, "Nope, I'm done. I'm out." But then he had a really cool tagline in his profile. So I was like, "Okay, fine. We'll see what's up." So I took every different approach to what I would normally have done in this scenario. This was where I was at. I was like, "I'm just going to text with him for a month. Then we'll meet up." Then we met up. And then I was like, "I don't really know. So we decided we're just going to make, well, I decided, we're just going to continue to make some music and get together. And we were writing songs and we were getting ready to record an album. Like, it was really fun. We got together probably 3-4 times a week, like very quickly. Darnell became my best friend. Right. So, and then he was one day talking about this girl. And I was like, hell no.
So that's when you sort of knew, okay, we're going to have exclusivity here.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I'm like, yeah, I still want to be my boyfriend.
Yeah. So things have really worked out and all of that. And it all revolves around the PG Cougars. I see what a great mood you guys are in. And Jessica, I've always mentioned this to you before, that whenever I see, which is always at the games and everything like that, you're always upbeat. But Darnell, there's got to be some times that she's not. You got to fill us in, because we only see her the most enthusiastic person, the person that comes into a meeting that lights it up, that is in a building of 6,000, would like to be 60,000. You know, there's got to be some times that you're seeing her that you're saying, you know what, people, you know, there are times here there where Jess is not maybe quite as all that she appears all the time, or maybe she is all the time.
No, that's the thing is, that's she is.
Really?
And that's what like made me fall in love with her. I can never, I tell this, I can never figure out how somebody can be so consistently happy all the time.
Really? How do you can you give me some advice? Because I can't get that way. I'm
trying to figure it out too. Like, actually, the odd time, you know, she's not to say she's not happy, but I joke. I'm like, I'm rubbing. Okay. You've been hanging out with me too much, because you're the happy one all the time.
Now, what about when the Cougars lose? Is she still upbeat?
Well, you know, she's usually dissing the other team in some way.
All right, now it's starting
upbeat,
to come out.
But you know, it's not. It's still upbeat and nice. Yeah.
For the road games, you just don't watch from the comfort of your home on, you know, the WHL.ca. You're more involved with that. Tell us about on the road in the playoffs for the PG Cougars.
Yeah, oh my goodness. So the playoff fever just doesn't stop, because there are official away game watch parties at the Canadian Brewhouse every away game throughout playoffs. And they're bonkers. They are so much fun. They sell out. So definitely, if you would like to come, make a reservation. But yeah, the Brewhouse has all of those incredible big screens. And then they've got that massive jumbotron over the bar. So it's a really cool atmosphere to watch sports generally. And then so we stream the game on most of the TVs. So the Cougars just take over the place. Season members everywhere, Cougars fans everywhere. And then I host the party. So we started off with, if you've ever been to the game, I do a little story recap of where we're at in the season, why this game is important, and in the pregame show. And we do that before the puck drops and before the stream starts at the Brewhouse. So we get a little bit, because I personally, like, I love the sports story. I need the story to, like, get into it. Yeah. So this is one of my favorite parts, because I love being able to tell that story and connect with that story and connect with the fans over the story. Then we do prizes throughout the game. So there's some giveaways happening. There's some trivia games and contests. And, yeah, it's fun.
What did last year, sort of as a warm-up, do? Because last year there was some playoff success. First time in 16 years the team won a series. But then they went out in the second round, and rather quickly. But it was a nice, and that was your first full season with the team. But now things have been elevated. Now expectations are higher. Now the team is going further. All of these kinds of things are coming into it. So what were the grounds that were set last year that you were able to put into this year? And, like, there was so much excitement when they knocked out Tri-City and they finally got that win in game number 6. And it was just electric there. But now where the team is the favorite and all this kind of stuff, what happened from last year that you're able to put to this year, and how elevated is it?
I think last year introduced a lot of new Cougars fans to what playoff culture is in Prince George. You know, there was lots of years where fans came and gone. Lots of people have moved away from Prince George. Many new families have moved here. And I think last year was that reintroduction to like the good days of playoff culture, what this town's about when playoffs come. And it just laid a groundwork to build on for this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was incredible because, I mean, just like, you know, if you were to build a path through the woods, if you build it one year, it'll be much easier to recreate it next year and to go further with it. So we took what we did last year, analyzed the crap out of it, and we're like, what worked? What didn't work? What could we do to make some of those things that we thought didn't work work better? And we had a whole slew of cool things that we thought, okay, let's try this again. Let's try it this way. And then for things like the away game watch parties, I mean, we already had our relationship with the Canadian Brew House. So it was a lot simpler to talk about, okay, are we going to do that again? How are we going to do it? Do we want to do it the same way we did last year? Are there any changes we want? So there was a lot of that. There was also, just from a Cougars fan perspective, everybody was still talking about last season, you know, going into this season and being like, oh, you know, we loved when this happened. Oh, this was so much fun. And so we had all of that great feedback from the fan base as well.
And not to look too far ahead, because we want to enjoy the ride that is going on now.
Yeah.
But this team is going to be very good again next year. We all know that ahead of time. Now, I know you guys don't, you know, go to other rinks around the league and everything, but you are, I imagine, have had discussions with other teams and what they do and what they don't do. What would, for example, and maybe Darnell, I'll get you to comment on this, what would work maybe in an American center, maybe not so much in Prince George? What would work here, maybe not elsewhere? What ideas have you taken that have been played or used at other WHL centers or even AHL or NHL? What's worked elsewhere? What hasn't worked? What do you think may not work that's maybe working somewhere else?
The American arenas seem to have like a different culture to the way they take in sports and hockey. So it's actually, I really enjoy watching the American teams and their feeds because they kind of have a different culture at their games, which is interesting. And I don't think it necessarily replicates in Canada. So there's, you know what I say, it's like the fan experience there. They're way more about the traditions and things live on for a long time. And the fans have like a different expectation. When it seems when you move into Canada, it's Canada, we're hockey, baby. The expectation is hockey. So there's things you see in the States that are working really well for them. And sometimes you think, you know, would that work well for us? What do our fans want here? What we could do? But lots of what I look at to get inspiration is from those higher levels. What are the NHL arenas doing? What is big in other entertainment circles and what's going on that we could bring in? Like the example, just singing the anthem in the crowd. Like, we didn't invent that. We were watching a playoff game of the Edmonton Oilers last year and saw their anthem singer singing in the crowd. We're just like, that's so cool. We should do that.
Right.
And then decided to try it out. The things like the pregame show that's happening in playoffs, by no means is it some original thing that was created. It was inspired by starting with like a DJ at a music festival and then seeing another team spin on that kind of thing. And then we took it and put our own spin on it.
Have you ever got any, either of you, strange ideas from fans or from elsewhere that you just had to reject?
Yeah,
go. I'd like to hear
it. I instantly know one already.
Okay, I want to hear it.
If anybody has watched the Kelowna stream, I don't even know what they call it, but they have a segment they do where they just play people eating their food in reverse. Oh.
Really? Snack words.
Yeah, snack words. And like, every time I see it, I almost want to throw up. Like, I find it so disgusting. And I'm very happy. A WHL guy in Prince George came by the production booth after we played Kelowna one time, and he mentioned, he's like, did you guys see that snack word cam? It's so cool. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm happy there's somebody in this world that thinks it's awesome, but we are not going down that road.
Right. What about when you're talking to fans or something like that, Jess, and everybody's got their ideas, just whatever kind of ideas. Do you ever hear anything that you sort of say, yeah, but you know in your own mind, no, that's off the wall?
Yes, that happens a lot, actually. Yeah. I love hearing every idea because you never know what it's going to inspire. But there are a lot of ideas that come up and I'm just kind of like, yep, cool, awesome. We will talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yep, cool, awesome. Yeah. But I can't actually think of any of them at the moment because my brain has a good habit of trashing most things, honestly.
Jessica, you are such a people person. And you outward admit that. But there has to be a time where you want your own space. Does that happen? And now with two kids and, you know, a husband that's full of ideas and being with the Cougars and everything, like, do you get that opportunity?
It's rare. It's rare. It's definitely something I have to seek out on purpose. Mm-hmm. I have a... realize that I let it go a little too long sometimes, and then I can tell because I'm just not happy Jess anymore. But we have an incredibly supportive family in town, so we have quite a village of people that are willing to hang out with our children. So a lot of the time it's usually in the off season, because we're both working all of the games. So there are 34 instances in the regular season plus playoffs where we rely on the grandparents to hang out with the kids. Mm-hmm. So then we want time with them as well, where we're visiting all together. So I try to be mindful of that, but also sometimes I just need to ship them off. And close the door. And this is where, like, when we were talking about songwriting and having to have that time to, like, get into the space, it's difficult to write songs right now in this period of my life, and it doesn't happen very often. But when I ship the kids away and close the door, that might be the time that it actually happens.
Right. And if you are to write your next song, what kind of music would it be?
Yeah, I'm a real, like, pop rock kind of person, Alanis Morissette kind of songs, Melissa Etheridge kind of songs, so somewhere in there, and then that era, that's just really what motivates my soul, that whole era of music. Yeah. I suppose now it's considered country.
they say everything's country because you got to try and get more country fans, I guess. So, Darnell, what about now? You work for yourself. So are you in a closed room? So you do have some time for yourself. How does that work, your day job?
It's actually very busy. I do work alone from my office in our house, but I spend all day on calls internationally with both client teams and creative teams literally all around the world. An example, I woke up, had a meeting with a team in Vietnam, then popped off to a meeting with a team in Toronto.
What about the time difference to Vietnam then? How does that work?
It's just a fun playing of games. We're usually meeting in my night, which is their morning, or we're meeting in my morning, which is their night. So it's mm-hmm. changing. And then there's different platforms we communicate on. So although I do work alone in an office every day, I spend the majority of my day talking into a mic to a computer screen, coaching teams, helping teams, solving clients' problems.
Right. So when you're so involved with that, and then you have a team at the games, and you've got a family, and you have Jess, everything, what about time for yourself that you need, or are you that kind of a person that you don't really need a lot of that, you just like the engagement?
No, I definitely need time. This is, we joke, this is why Jess and I have worked so well together, is because she would go out and party on a Friday night with all her friends to go see her friend's band play at this venue, and I would stay at home with my other buddy who likes staying home, and we would work on things or watch things or learn things. So I definitely do need my time. I'm able to find it usually in the afternoon before the kids get picked up, depending on how my day's going.
So when you guys see each other so often, we hear, for a lot of people, it works out very well, husband and wife spending more time than normal, like, because we think of a husband's got a job, wife's got a job, kids, all of those kinds of things. Any advice that you guys would have for those that are in a relationship that are working together to make it work? Because I imagine that things could go off the rails if everybody's not on the same page there.
For sure. I would say biggest thing is always just to remember why you're there, why mm-hmm. you're doing it, why it works so well that you guys are both passionate about the same thing and are working together. Because if you bring it back to the passion, like when Darnell and I, you know, we throw out ideas, we've never really been 9-to-5 type of mindset, you know. We are working all the time. If an idea strikes, that's just kind of how it rolls. But it's because we work on things that we absolutely love together. And at the end of the day, we're both passionate about that thing. We're both passionate about each other. We respect each other's ideas. And then on that same note, you know, when something kind of irks your fuzz, mm-hmm. just take a second before you respond.
Well, yeah. it's also like with us, it's, you know, even when we disagree, it's never about the person. It's always yeah. about the thing, which you know, that's kind of, I guess, if I were to give mm-hmm. some magical
right.
Relationship advice, it's like feedback and criticism.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the idea. It's not, we're not criticizing the person. We're just yeah. criticizing the idea or the thought. And I think both of us live in that space, so we never take it personally or take anything personally in that sense, as, you know, because it's not working out in business, all of a sudden it's not working out in our personal relationship. Mm-hmm. It never crosses to that point, because it's always about the task at hand and never about the person or the people behind it.
Anything that I have not asked or something that you would like to talk about as we close out the podcast regarding either your jobs, your situations, the PG Cougars, anything that hasn't come up yet that you would like to mention in closing?
I have one thing, and I know Cole plays these during the away games.
Right.
So this one's for any of the fans who have been to our playoff home games. The Cougars scored too many goals this season and broke the goal horn.
Right.
So okay. if you haven't heard, we've had many questions about the goal horn.
Yeah.
The goal horn is in the process of getting fixed.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to play a digital one, but y'all are just way too loud, so it doesn't matter. And thank the Cougars for just scoring way too many goals and us having to press that button a lot. So if you've been missing the goal horn, we're aware. It's getting fixed. We hope it'll be back soon. And we love that you love the horn as much as we do.
Isn't that a great story? That's why there's just been too many goals, so the goal horn has been shot down. Doesn't that just say what this season has been about?
Right?
Really?
Incredible.
What about from your standpoint, Jess? Anything you want to add?
Oh my gosh. I just thank you so much, Prince George, Cougars fans, for being so awesome and being just a treat to hang out with every single game. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come say hi if you see me.
Well, and at games, you're very, very visible and everything like that. But again, like to thank you both coming down. It's been very enjoyable. We didn't quite get to an hour, but we're pretty darn close to it, around 55, 56 minutes. And it's been a delight having you. We'll continue to follow how things go for you, how things go for the PG Cougars, and all the best to both of you. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Jessica Speziale is the in-game host and corporate sponsorship with the Prince George Cougars. Darnell Toth is the show caller with the PG Cougars. You have been listening to CatScan, and have a great one.